Ah, if you got your Bibles today, take them and turn to Hebrews in chapter 10. We're going to stand out of love and respect for God's word if you're physically able. And Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin in verse 19. I'll read the odd verses out loud by myself, and you can join me out loud on the even verses as we read through verse 39. I'll begin by myself in verse 19. And we'll, of course, go responsively back and forth throughout the rest of the chapter here. Beginning in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance and faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But to call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." You understand that God wants to have a relationship with us. And you know what? Seemingly speaking, we might consider it a long-distance relationship, right? We're here on earth. God's in heaven, right? I mean, that's fairly reasonable, although altogether incorrect. Now, what's important about a relationship? It's important for a good relationship for the entities to be close, right? Isn't that good? The further away you are, whether in proximity or in spirit, if you will, or being or psyche or emotions or whatever, the further away you are, the less the relationship is, right? And so we've got to understand that God wants to have a relationship with us, and he doesn't want it to be a long distance relationship. He wants it to be a close relationship. If you want to just kind of for starters, take your hymn books and turn to number 203. 203. There's a couple of songs here in our hymn book that, I guess, for a sense of a title, I'm kind of stealing the title of Miss Adams' song here. nearer, my God, to thee. Do you desire to be nearer to God? Do you desire to have a close, intimate relationship with Him? She says, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me, in mercy given, angels to beckon me, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then with my walking, then with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes, to be nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Then just so happens on the next page, there's another song by Miss Morris. Nearer, still nearer. Close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, oh fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Nearer, still nearer, nothing I bring. Not as an offering to Jesus, my King. Only my sinful, now contrite heart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Grant me the cleansing thy blood doth impart. Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last. Till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages ever to be. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee. I hope that as you sing songs out of the hymn book and read things out of the Word of God, that they affect your spirit. The pastor that asked me to come be a part of the ministry in Arlington many years ago, he always said that if he could only have two books, of course, he'd want to have his King James Bible and a hymn book. You know, there's something about these songs that lift our soul and the doctrine of them that is constant and true according to the Word of God. But can I tell you something? What is our desire like to be nearer, my God, to thee? Do we want to be nearer? And in verse 22 here of chapter 10, the author just throws it out to us. He says, let us draw near. Hey, guess what? Is it an unmistakable fact that God wants to be near to us? He is. He wants to be near to us. Hey, for God so loved the world, He was willing to send His Son to be that sacrifice for us. And to give us this hope of eternal life through His name. He wanted to redeem us from our sin. Man was given a choice. Man decided to sin. It brought death upon all men, for all have sinned. There was this separation, and God could have just said, you know what, I'm just going to stay here and you stay there. He could have done that. He's God. But He wanted to be near to His creation, mankind. And He put everything in orchestration to be perfect and in the fullness of time and exactly how it was designed to redeem man. He wanted to buy us back. This is all Him. He wanted this. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us, right? We understand that we didn't love Him. He loved us. He wants to be close to us. So, it's not about, hey, God, come over where I am. God, come to me. No. It says here in verse 22, let us draw near. It lies with us, folks. We need to get close to God. We need to get close to Him. Oh, he wants to be close to us, and he's made himself available to be close to. He's not some far-off God that you can't touch, that you can't reach, that you can't have a relationship. He's there. He wants it, but it's up to us. He made us with a free will choice. We have the opportunity to choose to be nearer to him. We need to draw nigh. We need to not be distant in place, time, or degree. We need to close the gap. We're the ones that need to seek his face. We're the ones that need to desire a relationship with him. We're the ones that need to set ourselves aright so that we can be close to him. We need to seek it. We need to search for it. Don't forget that he's perfect. Don't forget that he's pure. Don't forget that he's holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. So we're the ones that need to become nearer to God, not the other way around. So as we look at this scripture here in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us draw near, first of all, with a true heart. With a true heart. Now, over the past year and a half that I've been pastor here, we've talked many times about the heart. We know that it's deceitful. We know that it's desperately wicked. We know there's something that a man cannot get a hold of. But God can. But God can. And listen, we need to make sure that our heart is right with God. That our heart is set toward God. You say, can we do that? Yes, we can. You say, how do we know? The Bible tells us so. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men, therefore, behold, I'll proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Now that's in Isaiah 29. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 15. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah the prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What was the complaint of God? That the people looked right, talked right, but they removed their heart far from him. This is an action, folks. This is something they had control over. So instead of being nearer to God in their heart, they removed it far from him. We don't need to do that. We actually need to do the opposite. We need to get our heart closer to God and as close as possible. In Jeremiah chapter 30, the Bible tells us the children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and the governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me? Is that, again, something they could control? Something that they needed to do? To engage their heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it. Do you see the action of the people It's their choice. They either removed their heart far from Him, or they engaged their heart toward Him, to approach Him. Remember what was told to the people as they were about to enter into the promised land? For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and to bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, and in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. It's right here. He wants to be near to us, but we just need to do it. It's in us. We have the availability to. We just need to do it. He says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Oh, but listen to this. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Do you see this trauma, this turmoil? Hey, can our heart be drawn away? Can it be turned away from the Lord? Yes, it can. That's why we've got to purpose. That's why we've got to engage. That's why we've got to be diligent about making our heart near to God, choosing whom we will serve. In Psalms, the Bible tells us the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. You know, over and over in Scripture, it talks about pride separating us from God, keeping us from being close to Him. You know, you talk about kings of the Old Testament and how they did well for a while following the Lord. But then something happened. There was this one in particular that was encouraged as a child to seek God and to follow Him and to set his heart as David his father did toward God. For David was known as a man after God's own heart. But listen to what happened to Solomon. It says, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. What a sad thing. For the wisest man that the world has ever known to have this happen to us. And let me just use this as a warning. If it can happen to him, it can happen to you. And it can happen to me. We've got to be careful. Drawing our heart nearer to God. Not removing it far away. Not turning it back. Remember these encouragements about your heart and God. We spent a whole year and a half studying through Psalm 119. So I will refrain from reading all 176 verses to you again. Let me just read a few of them. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. I cried with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord, I will keep thy statutes. In Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon says, and this is before his heart was turned away from God by his wives, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. In Proverbs 4, he said, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Later on in the same chapter, he says, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. And then he says this, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. James said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Hey, listen. The Bible is true, is it not? And it says, let us draw near with a true heart. A true heart. We need to draw nearer, my God, to thee in our hearts. But also, if you look on, it says here in the last part of verse 22, and our bodies washed with pure water. Hey, guess what? We have this physical vehicle we travel this earth in for a short time. Do you know what this thing likes? It likes sin. It likes the physical pleasures. It likes the worldly things. It is bent toward hell. It is cursed. This stuff right here. And if you don't believe it's cursed, just ask any of our older folks in this church about how cursed our physical bodies are. I'm only 44, and I have aches and pains that I'm discovering that I did not know I had. And yes, I know all of you are just laughing because you're like, you have no idea. I understand it's coming. But listen to me. This flesh is wicked. And it doesn't want to be anywhere near God. Or anywhere close to God. So what do we have to do? We have to make it draw near. We have to make it go where it doesn't want to go. Here's what Paul said about this subject. He said, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain, and every man striveth for the mastery, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know what we need to do? We need to conform this thing. We need to transform this thing. We need to make this body do what we want it to do, not what it wants to do. We do. We need to draw it nearer to God. It needs to be nearer for God, to God, because if it's not, it's going to be far from it. Because it's the flesh. It's something that we have to keep under and bring into subjection. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Hey, that's an action thing. Just like we have a if you will, need to make our heart conform to what God wants it to do, be nearer to Him, our bodies likewise. We need to have the control over it, if you will. We need to be the one presenting it as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, folks. It's reasonable. And yes, you can do it. Now, does that make it easy? No. Does that make it automatic? No. We need to do it. And we need to be diligent at it, just like we need to be diligent about our heart. You understand that this has a purpose. Because the body and the flesh want to be conformed to this world. But it needs to be renewed and transformed, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What did Paul say in Galatians? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In order to be successful, we need to realize, as Paul helped the Corinthians realize, that their bodies were the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And they needed to do some things to make sure that their body was near to God. In 1 Corinthians 3, he said, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, so yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. In 1 Corinthians 6, he throws out a question. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Folks, this body is not ours anymore. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. Hey, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes and indwells the believer. We ought to be a vessel of honor, not a vessel of dishonor. We ought to be a clean vessel. Hey, how many of you want to live in a dirty, filthy, nasty house? No, you don't, do you? What do you do if you're living in an environment or a place that's filthy, nasty, disgusting, and insect-infested, and infection-infested, and disease-infested, and, you know, what do you do? You try to do what? Clean it up, because you don't want to live there. You don't want to live in that filth. Okay? Well, if us as human beings have that prerogative, what do you think the Holy Spirit? You think He's different? I do. You think He wants to live inside of that? So what's He going to prod you to do? clean up the place. Yeah. And guess what? I just read to you before. It's your reasonable service. It's reasonable to be nearer to God, not only in heart, but in our body. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. You don't owe the flesh anything. You don't. To live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. I don't have time to read to you Colossians 3. But I just want to remind you, as far as your physical body and your flesh is concerned, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then he makes this statement, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. He goes on to say, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Folks, we've got to draw near to God in our bodies. And as we go back to our text in Hebrews chapter 10, he says, let us draw near with a true heart, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We need to draw nigh or near to God. Nearer, my God, to thee in heart and in body. You say, Pastor, you've skipped over the same phrase a couple of times. I know, because in points I wanted to cover the heart and then the body and then this last one. So we're getting there. Look at the rest of it. Let's draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith. You know, faith is one of those things that we all have. But can I tell you something? It's something we need to grow. Remember the disciples in Luke 17? The apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. We need to draw our faith nearer to God. He covers all three of these elements in this verse. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Nearer in faith, nearer in body, nearer in heart. In Hebrews chapter 11, you could go through and read this. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And over again, it's actually the next chapter over here in your Bible. It just says things like this, by faith, through faith, by faith, but without faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, through faith. These all died in faith, by faith. By faith Jacob, by faith Isaac, by faith Joseph, and by faith Moses, and by faith in choosing rather to suffer and esteeming reproach of Christ, and by faith he forsook, and through faith he kept, and by faith the walls of Jericho, and by faith the harlot Rahab, and then he says, and what shall I say, what shall I more say? And I'll say the same thing, I like this because I just saw that. For the time would fail me to tell. We're out of time today. I like this guy. I think I should read that again. He's a preacher. He knows. He understands my pain. There's never enough time. Are you getting the picture, though? We need to draw nearer, my God, to thee. nearer in heart, nearer in body, nearer in faith. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father. In James chapter 1, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, and that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then one last encouragement. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, what does that sound like? Does that sound like being nearer to God? Partakers of the divine nature? Tuning ourselves to be near to Him, to be close to Him, to have that personal relationship with Him? Remember, He's the one that asks us to. He's the one that wants us to. And we've got to turn ourselves toward Him. He says this, and beside this, giving all diligence. Remember those things you said about the whole heart? Mortifying the deeds of the flesh? You know, mortifying the, putting those aside, setting those aside, conforming ourselves to the image of His dear Son. Being steadfast, having done all to stand. I could go on and on. But for sake of time, I'm gonna make that my life verse over here. For the time would fail me to tell. I like that. I'm going to get a plaque made and put it in my office. What does he say? Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Nearer. Nearer to him. Maybe the next time you sing those songs, you'll think of these things. Nearer in heart, nearer in body, nearer in faith.